Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends, I'm pretty sure that the widest river in the world is not the Jordan River, described in our text from Joshua chapter 3. And probably surprising to you, the widest river in the world is not the Mississippi. It's not the Amazon. It's not the Nile. The widest river in the world is a river called If Only. The If Only River. There's hundreds of people who are standing on the bank of that river, many, many people, looking over the other side and imagining how good life will be and how great success will be on the other side. But there they are on one side. They do anything to get over to the other side. But the thing that separates the two sides is that If Only River. One if only. Here's one of those if onlys. If only I were stronger, then I'd be happier.
If only I were skinnier, then I'd be happier. If only I were richer, then I'd be happier. If only I were married, if only I had children, if only I were divorced, if only I got that lottery ticket, if only my calendar looked a little bit better, if only I looked better. You see how this goes, the if only river. Now, here's the thing. Are you one of those people in the crowd looking over to the other side? The only thing that separates you from the other side is just one little if only. A decision, a goal, a dream, a relationship, an election, an event, if only. Now, Joshua and the Israelites are right there at that river. It's called the Jordan River. It's famous in the Bible. This is where Jesus was baptized, about 1600 years after Joshua and the Israelites. This is where Jesus is baptized. But I actually think you could describe this river as an if-only kind of river. Why do I say that? The Jordan, actually, the dimensions of the Jordan are not all that spectacular, actually. Here they are. The Jordan flows from the Sea of Galilee up north and winds itself down about 150 miles and empties itself into the Dead Sea. As it winds 150 miles, it drops in elevation about 3,000 feet. That's quite a bit. And it's thought that the Jordan River right by the Dead Sea is the lowest in elevation flowing river in the entire world. At its widest point, it is about 100 feet in width and about 17 feet in depth, probably at the point where the Israelites are crossing. You can imagine that it's about 50 feet wide and about 10 feet deep. But the significance of the Jordan River is not so much its dimensions, it's really this concept of if only. The Israelites are standing there in Joshua chapter 3, standing on one side of that river, and behind them are all their struggles, struggles in the wilderness, struggles with the food that has been given to them, struggles with the limited amount of water that has been provided, and also the leadership that they've been given through Moses. It hasn't been an easy go of it actually up to this point. But on the other side, they can see the good land, the good times, the land flowing with milk and honey. And the only thing that separates them is this river, the Jordan River. If only they could get across. Now here's the good news, and we all know this. In our text today, we find out that they actually do get across that river, and they get to the promised land. But here is the issue. All those good things that were going to come in the promised land, some of those things happen, absolutely. It would be a land flowing with milk and honey, but not always. It would be a land full of good times, but there would be a lot of struggles too. It would be a land full of victories, but it wasn't always victories. There were great struggles. And you see, all the things that were behind them on the other side of the river, the food, the lacking of food and not liking the food and the water and the supply and the struggle with leadership, all those problems actually, they went with them even into the promised land. Those struggles continued. It wasn't really an if-only river. But here's the significance of the crossing of the Jordan River. These Israelites had a special moment in which they encountered their God. And they could hold on to that. The priests that were with them, they went out into the waters, we read in our text, and the waters were just past their ankles. They took that first step into the water. And then came the Ark of the Covenant down at the bottom of the river. And then the Israelites passed by, and the text said it wasn't muddy water or kind of swampy water, it was dry ground. And the Israelites went to the other side. And at that point, the Ark of the Covenant then was brought to the other side, and the waters came back, and the Jordan flowed like it once had. But the real issue is this. This was a moment for them to celebrate. This was a moment for them to be grateful for what the Lord had done. That changed them forever from people who were, if only, to people who could live in the greatness, in the gratefulness of how the Lord was with them in that moment. Dear friends, I think you can relate to this. I think we all know the failure and the failures that we see in the lives of people who are living lives with that philosophy, if only. We see how a life lived for happiness based on circumstances. Life circumstances will only bring ups and downs and a roller coaster that will bring grief and great disappointment. As I've thought about this and personally reflected, I've realized that when I was younger, I did live by that philosophy, if only. It did bring great disappointment. In the beginning, there was that thought, if only I could have that car. I got that car. It was a Ford Tempo. It wasn't any special, but how awesome that was. But then I realized it costs money to put gasoline into that car. And then I moved on, and I thought to myself in high school, if only I had that girlfriend. And I had a girlfriend, but then I realized that she was just as expensive as the gasoline in the car. And then I moved on from that. If only I had that college degree. And then I realized the payments for that college degree were way more than the gasoline and the girlfriend all combined. And thankfully, I broke that cycle and realized that that was a self-defeating way to live. But you see, if it would have continued, here are some things that could have been said. If only I married the right person. If only my children were just the right kind of kids. If only the job was just perfect. If only, if only, if only. And if that's the way we live, we'll always be disappointed and we'll always live with sorrow. My friends, you have been baptized into Jesus' name. And what that means is that your life philosophy cannot be if only. Because the same thing that happened to Joshua and the Israelites in the Jordan River actually happened to you in your baptism. You see, Joshua and this generation of Israelites, many of them were not there when the Red Sea had taken place and Moses crossed many, many years before. What they did is they went down to the Jordan River, and at the bottom of that river, they experienced the presence of God in the Ark of the Covenant. He was with them there. And then when they crossed over, they knew that they were God's people. They knew that they were God's children, and they could celebrate that. Same things happened to you. Now see, you weren't at the Red Sea. Of course not. And you weren't there at the Jordan River. Of course not. So how could the same thing have happened to you? Well, someone brought you to the waters. And you were brought down into those waters. And at that deepest point, these words were said to you: I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You see, that changes everything. We no longer have to live by if only. We can celebrate the Lord's goodness to us. We can celebrate his forever presence for us. My friends, what a shame it would be if, having been baptized, we went back to the old way of living of, if only I had this, if only I had more. What a shame it would be if we went back to living by defining happiness by life circumstances. We can live in with gratefulness. What a difference that makes in our prayer life to God. What a difference it makes actually in the people that live right around us as well. Gratefulness, not if only. Gratefulness, it can become a blessing to other people. You know, there's a story about that. It's a story about a blind boy who was sitting outside of a building on some steps with a hat out to collect money. A few coins had been thrown in. The boy actually had a sign right by his hat. It said these exact words: I am blind, please help. A few people came by. Finally, a man came by, and he took out a few more coins and placed it into the hat. And at that point, he then took the boy's sign. Shocking. He took the boy's sign, and he turned it upside down, and he wrote a different message. And as he left, he placed that sign so that everyone could see it right by the blind boy. Now, time passed by throughout the day, and that hat became completely filled. Practically every person that came by the boy took out coins, took out dollar bills, and put it into his hat. And later on in that day, the man who changed the sign came back to see how things had gone. And the boy recognized his steps coming forward. He remembered what he sounded like earlier in the morning. And the blind boy said to the man, "Are you the one who came earlier that changed my sign? What did you say in that sign?" And the man said he was simply speaking the truth, that he wasn't changing anything. He was just changing the way that it was said. Then he told him what he wrote: "Today is a beautiful day. I'd like to see it." Now, what's the difference between those two signs? Well, the first one just spoke that the boy was blind. The second sign motivated those who are walking by with gratefulness that they had eyesight to see the beautiful day that was all around them and to give thanks, the simple thanks for what God had blessed them with. My friends, what if our prayer life changed in that way? Now, there's certainly nothing wrong with listing our problems and listing our if-onlys to God. God will always hear our prayers. He's open. He's like a father we heard last week. He wants to hear from us. But what if our prayers turn to gratefulness for how God is with us and the difference that his presence makes in our lives? The fact that we give thanks that we, each one of us, has had a Jordan River experience with our God. It's sure and certain, the waters of baptism. What a difference our prayer life would make. So as we close out our time today, we want you to consider one question for thoughtful consideration, maybe even after this service today, and that is this. What is that one thing that is an if-only item that you have changed into a thought of gratitude? Or what is one thing that right now you're thinking of, if only I had this? How can you twist that around and instead give thanks for and gratitude for what you have been given?